Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is a perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Conservative conversation, and also part of the Patriot Journalist Network. And you can find the Patriot Journalist Network by going to Facebook if you are a Facebook user and putting in the search engine simply Patriot Journalist Network as one word. One of the shows you will find on there, as well as Bard's Logic Political Talk, will be Mark Prasik's Full Armor. And his show is from 8 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, and it's got a little bit of a different format. It is a live video and audio chat, and I suggest folks check that out at some time. I'd like to thank everyone who is coming here through Blog Talk Radio to listen to the show, or if you've come here through the Bard's Logic Political Talk website. Thank you for listening to, as well as the other venues, including the participation of chat tonight. Now, tonight I have once again the Honorable Don Schrader, who is the Constitution Party's Ohio State Chairperson, who was good enough to come back in after the technical difficulties that we experienced last week here on Blog Talk Radio. And so I would like to have him come on, and this is part of our series on bringing in the grassroots, or what I like to call the We the People political parties, to show that the American electorate does have more choices than just the Republicans and the Democrats. And so without further ado, I will be bringing in the Honorable Don Schrader. Thank you very much for coming in once again. How are you?
Fine, Robert. How are you doing this evening?
I am good. I'm very glad that we've got everything working out now.
Yes, it seems to be normal for me. You know, as I told you, the state meeting was supposed to be held back in July, and the storms that went through the state seemed to blot that out, and then we had to reschedule. So last week and this week seems normal.
Good, good. So what I'd like to start out with is if you could tell us a little of your background, what got you into politics, what skills you bring to the table, and what brought you to the Constitution Party.
Certainly. I'm not a politician by any stretch of the imagination, as anybody that reads my background there. You know, I'm basically an engineer in factory automation, and then I now have a consulting business working with companies to do research and development with the federal government, particularly the Air Force. And so I still maintain an active, fully active consulting business, and therefore I am able to do politics kind of as a sideline at times. It's kind of like you. I've been a lifelong Republican. I mean, I go back to I Like Ike, and have supported the Republicans, thinking that they were conservative, as they always claim to be, and I was. I'm, as noted, very conservative, whether it's a theologically, politically, or economically. And, you know, it's one of those things where I have been active in more in trying to provide ideas and thoughts and encouragements and other types of things and lots of criticism of current politicians. I go back to, you know, one of the things is the privatization of Social Security. I wrote to Tom Kindness back in the early 70s, a whole plan for privatizing Social Security at that time. Tried to talk him into supporting that. His number one aide tried to convince me how great Social Security was and why we should continue, and, you know, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. But I continued with that. I supported, you know, the Republican side for some time, but I just continued to get more and more discouraged. During the Reagan administration, where we were supposed to have the Reagan conservatism, I still have the letters writing to him a number of times because of his not following through on conservative principles. And, you know, it was back then that I did join the Republican Presidential Task Force and realized that my money was going to support any kind of Republican, including Jacob Javits.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, I am a conservative. I am not a Republican. And I tried to make that point. I withdrew from the Republican Presidential Task Force. And I continue to make that all the way through. My congressman being John Boehner, I have written to him and met with him a number of times. I met with his staff, tried to get them to embrace conservative principles, try to stand up for conservative constitutional government, try to, you know, as when they folded on the all of the stimulus stuff and all of the, and particularly when they folded on the raising the debt limit. I begged him not to do that, not to, you know, use pragmatism. And it's just time and again, you know, the Republican Party would continue to send me all this stuff about how they're, you know, against Obama, against this, against that. And I tried to make the point over and over again that conservatism is not about being against somebody. It's about standing for a set of principles. And I have never seemed to be able to get that across to them because they have no intention of standing for principles. They're all about pragmatism so they can stay in power. I wrote a treatise that I want my country back, and I sent it to John Boehner and to others, and of course without any result. And as a matter of fact, John Boehner's gotten to where he won't even respond to my email letters or things I've sent to him any longer. But I wrote that, and through the Robert Owens run for Attorney General in Ohio, I just happened to hear him on Shooting from the Hip, and called in and talked to him and liked what he said and started investigating the Constitution Party. And I really wasn't that aware of the Constitution Party up to that point. And I got in touch with Randy Stufflebeam, who you had on the show, I think, Sunday night, and who is the vice chairman.
Yeah,
she
was on a couple nights. She was on last night and the night before that. And so today's Wednesday, so Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday.
Okay. Anyhow, he was at that time the Midwest chairman, and I did get in touch with him and struck up quite a bit of a conversation with him and his able vice chairman at that time. And I liked, you know, what they said. I had some questions about the Constitution Party, and I wanted some clarification, but overall, when I looked at what I said, when I want my country back, and I looked at the platform of the Constitution Party, it was like holding up mirror images. And I said, that's the party for me. How can I get involved? I've worked to get involved, and as of April this year, I became the state chairman, not because I particularly wanted to be, but nobody else took the position, and I knew something needed to be done in the state of Ohio, and we really needed to get moving forward. And if nobody else was going to do it, I was willing to step up and do that. And so I took that over, and that's really what my efforts are presently, is to build the Constitution Party, not because I want a third party or anything like that, but what I want is constitutional government. I want to return us to those foundations that created the greatest economic engine in anybody's lifetime through the 19th century, that still we're coasting through, using that as our economic engine, that we're coasting along as it's slowing down. But we can rebuild that economic engine, that and that moral engine and that kind of stuff, that I'm doing it not for me, but for my grandchildren and their heritage for as long as the Lord tarries.
Understood. I understand about the stepping up portion. I was doing just some volunteer work for the Newt Gingrich grassroots. it wasn't an official position or anything like that, but I was doing a lot of volunteer work. And then Ann Newsom from South Carolina got a hold of me. She was the South Carolina phone team captain. And then I believe maybe by default she became the South Carolina state coordinator, which is kind of what happened with me in Ohio, is after the primary, I was looking for who the Ohio State coordinator was for the grassroots for Newt Gingrich, and the person wasn't anywhere to be found, so I kind of took up the mantle for that to try to still continue on with, at least in the grassroots capacity, the campaign in Ohio as best I could after the primary here, after Super Tuesday. And so, you know, that's kind of how that came about. And then also on Sammy's Sanford show, and, you know, just as a guest caller for a while. And Sam and Mark Prasik, who does the Full Armor show I was talking about earlier tonight, they discussed with me about starting a show. And, well, here I am. But let's move on to the Constitution Party in Ohio. And I know you mentioned that, you know, one of the things, one of your goals is to build the Constitution Party. Are there, if any at this point, any down-ballot candidates that you are running in Ohio at this time?
Unfortunately, we do not have any, and that's a terrible thing, but it was just one of those things that, because of circumstances, the party was fairly dormant for a while, and that's why I got involved, and unfortunately, we, at this point, do not have any down ballots. Certainly hope to change that by 2014 and 2016 and have a number of them. We will be looking for candidates, but we do want to vet those candidates to be sure that they are properly grounded, that they properly understand the message, that they're able to articulate the message, and able to debate that message appropriately. And also, then we want to they need to be willing to run a good campaign. So we've got a lot of work to do ahead of us. But first, we need to just get the party up and running. It's just recently that I have now a full slate of state officers, which is great. I've talked to several people who are interested, very interested in being part of the grassroots building of our party in Ohio. They are willing to be county chairman, and that's what we're going to be looking for. We're in the process of rewriting the bylaws, and we'll be probably looking at the platform, whether it will be our state party platform as opposed to just the national party, all that will support and align with the national party platform for sure. We will also be putting together descriptions of job descriptions for the county leaders and the district leaders and so forth, and what we would like and how those are supposed to work with the state, and put all that together so that somebody that wants to come in and get involved can look at that and see what would be expected of them, see what we want to do, see how we're organizing. From there, I'll be working to build, county leaderships, district leaderships, and they'll be the ones that will build this party.
And for the folks who would be interested in having such a position or exploring it, what type of criteria would you have? And two, what would all be involved? Of course, you could just give a synopsis on each. Be involved in being something such as a county chairperson.
Okay. The first part criteria for a county chairperson is a truly active interest in the party and an expression that they want to do that. We would be looking for somebody who has the ability to get out and meet people that understands what the Constitution Party is. I mean, if you're just trying to be we've had too many carpetbaggers from time to time that just want to use the Constitution Party for their own purposes. We don't need that. What we need are people that understand what the Constitution Party is all about, understand, agree with the platform of the Constitution Party, want to truly see this country return to constitutional government. Those are going to that kind of agreement is going to be extremely important. From there, we need somebody who really wants to do the job, is willing to work with us, and truly be active in building that. Now, as far as the day-to-day, within each county, they need to build their organization within each county then. They need to work and gather people together, and we want to help them figure out how to get publicity out within the county for the Constitution Party and, help them build within each county in terms of announcements in the local press, newspapers, that kind of stuff, get meetings scheduled, start getting things moving so that you begin to build within each county. You need a slate of county officers and people like communications people and membership directories and things like that. Then, we want to help them. Also, one of the things I think we really need to do is within each county is become aware of those local functions where they need to be involved. At the state level, I can't be involved in all the local functions that go on, but you know, every county has whatever their county fairs or whatever, and we want to help them then, you know, go out there and be in those, involved in those. I've got some ideas for everything from building, you know, trailers or something to have in parades, and then, you know, get booths or whatever in all these venues and start passing out Constitution Party literature and help people be able to be there in those venues and pass out literature and talk to people. And that's the way it's going to have to be done, you know, person to person, just over time. There's no way to make a magical announcement across the state and everybody rush. Probably the closest we have to that is the candidacy of Virgil Goode, who will be on the ballot. And I'm hoping that a lot of people see that, look at that, and say, Constitution Party, what's that? I need to go check that out.
And speaking of Virgil Goode, can you tell us how he is doing so far in Ohio? And for the folks who would like to support Virgil Goode, what would you recommend them do to get involved in order to help with him getting outlet at the very least the 5% threshold that many third parties look for?
Right. You know, what we really need, and again, for the same reason we don't have anybody on the down ballots, we don't have the organization in place that I wish we did to support Virgil. That's really unfortunate. But however, anybody that would like to get involved, welcome to contact me. I have a phone number for the Constitution Party that's on the website. The number is 330-400-3444. That rings right here to my desk. If you know I don't answer it, there's a voicemail that will. They can go on to the Constitution Party website for Ohio, which is CP, like Constitution Party of Ohio, .org, and they can email, they can email me at chairman@cpofohio.org anyway, and let me know that they're interested. I'll try to get in touch with them. We'll do what we can to provide them with literature. I would encourage, and in this last month, I would encourage anybody that's listening that would really like to help Virgil get towards that threshold, which is very important if we can, to do things like write letters to your local paper supporting Virgil, letting him know that he will be on the ballot and what it means to be, you know, why it's good for them to look at, consider Virgil. And even if they don't, if people don't vote for Virgil, which I hope they will, at least they would, you know, begin to think about the Constitution Party and maybe start coming our way over the next 2 to 4 years.
Okay, two things. One is, on the website, is there a way, and this is in any political campaign, is there a spot on the website for folks to donate to the Constitution Party?
There will be shortly. They can certainly donate to the national. They can donate to Virgil's campaign. Those guys, those both have and have need of you know, funds. You can vote probably to help Virgil and let him know that, you know, you're trying to support the Ohio group. But we will shortly have. Unfortunately, again, getting in the whole thing with reorganization. I hate to keep putting it that way, but it's just reality, so I have to. We finally have a bank account. We will be working to shortly get a PayPal account that can people could then donate to the PayPal. They can send us money. We are working also. We've not been able to even accept membership to this point. We'll soon have a membership role, and it would be helpful if people join and become members of the Constitution Party. We're looking to, it'll be a nominal charge, $25 for an individual, $40 for a family, and, you know, fill out the paperwork. All that will be up on the website shortly. It is unfortunate we don't have it there now, but it's just a matter of the circumstances of where we are and what we're having to do to get ready. But we are moving towards that, and hopefully soon we'll have that. So in the meantime, if there's something, I would suggest that you can contact me, or you can contact Virgil's office and tell them that you want literature, you want to donate, please, Virgil's campaign can use the funds, and we would, encourage that.
Okay, and on October 23rd is a debate in which Virgil Goode will be participating. Will you be in Ohio having some way in which you will be promoting that debate?
We will be doing it through the media opportunities we have. We do have, besides the website, we have a Facebook, Twitter accounts, and I have a communications director now, and I will be working with her to try to get that promoted through the media outlets and so forth. That's one of those things. We've got, I have not purchased the media guide, but I know there's other media outlets. Unfortunately, our secretary, state secretary, has been involved in media campaigns before and has some good abilities to get stuff out. So we're really working on those things now.
Some good abilities?
Good abilities, yes.
Yeah, I like to say that the good people are the good people. Anyway, I digress. Yeah, I'm looking forward to – I know I personally am looking forward to the debate. I think it's a shame that Virgil Goode and, of course, the others such as Johnson and Stein were not giving the opportunity to debate on the same stage with Obama and Romney, because I think the American people deserve to have more options to be put in front of them so they can see that there are other folks out there, other candidates out there besides the Republicans and Democrats, or what we've been calling the duopoly. But this time I'd like to bring in another member of the Bard Logic panel, and that is Chris. So at this time, I will be opening up Chris' mic, and I know he's has some questions as well. And we will start off with that. Excuse me, I'm just trying to battle, still battling this cold. And we will go from there. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. Hold on, Tammy, I'm on the phone. My wife just called me. She must be having troubles. I'm a little bit late. Sorry, I was helping Sammy interview one of your sheriff candidates down in Florida, and that was a great conversation, ran over a little bit. Once again, another Constitutional Party hero. I mean, just great people. I mean, I don't know how many people we've interviewed, 12, some of them a couple of times. Yeah, some of them a couple times, like Mr. Goode and Mr. Clymer and things like that. And so I just want to say before, I get into anything detailed is I respect what you guys are doing, so much. It's tough, to be building a party. And it seems to me that you guys are recognizing that there's a big paradigm shift, that Romney has created a huge hole or a huge exodus from the GOP. Because of it, regardless of their fear of Obama, I think there's going to be millions of people just looking for a home. What I'm seeing out there in the world is that there's a massive censorship going on against any conversation on third parties. We're seeing it because we chose to go out and do the investigation. I don't know if Robert gave you our background, but all of us, came out of the GOP and saw the crime and just the terrible things that had gone on. And decided to get up and do some investigation and find out what our options were, and then it just kind of spiraled from there, and met you guys and met Randy and your state chair and vice chair of Idaho were a great help. Started interviewing people and we're impressed and we're trying to help, but I also get the sense that you guys are kind of trying to catch up with yourself so you're prepared for that potential paradigm shift. Am I saying that right when I say that?
Yes, Chris, Ms. Don, yes. I would say that particularly for the state of Ohio, as much as I wish it weren't true, it is true, and it's, we have to deal with reality. As much as people think I've lost my mind for supporting Virgil Goode and abandoning the Republican Party, I don't think so. And, you know, dealing with reality says that, yes, we're, you know, we aren't where we would like to be. We have to push forward from here, establish a party that is believable to people. I think that's a critical element. You know, it's one of those things to have, you know, we can have all kinds of philosophy, but people need to understand that we're also real and that we're there and that we're going to be there and that we are credible in our deeds and our actions as well as in our philosophy. And that's the kind of things that I'm trying to build within the party now within the state of Ohio. You know, it's unfortunate that we won't be able to support Virgil to the level that he deserves and what we would really like to do. We'll do what we can within the resources that we have, very limited at this point. But at the same time, you know, Jesus, you know, has talked about that he's going to divide, you know, families, brother against brother type of thing. We're going to, you know, this is the kind of thing where I can't say my whole family supports me on this. It's one of those things that they do and they don't. And certainly there are a lot of people, I've had emails just like you guys have had them from all kinds of people that won't sign their name and so forth, that at least my family signs their name. But, you know, all kinds of people that, you know, what, are you crazy? You know, we've got to be against Obama and then, you know, the organizations and all that. But ultimately, what we need to be is there when everything kind of falls to pieces, and we need to be in place, and we need to have the organization and be there to be in place when the need really hits, and that's going to be in the next couple of years.
Here's a spinoff question. Can I roll with this, Robert?
Go ahead, Chris.
A spinoff question, and it's something Randy and I have talked about. Do you think that the midterms is going to be, you're going to be in even better position to take seats and positions around the country in Congress and states?
Absolutely. And I think that for several reasons. One, you know, when we come to the midterms, it doesn't have quite the national attention that obviously the presidential campaigns have. And that has goodness, that's good and bad. And the good is that, you know, you have a better chance to, I think, to work the campaign issues at the local level and get people in, to hear your message, because you don't have all the rhetoric. Sure, you have the governorships very often, a lot of the, you know, the congressional races and so forth. But you don't have the hype that's going on right now with the presidential race. I mean, let's face it, you know, there's all the Obama and Romney lying about what the other said and misquoting and taking out of context and all those kinds of things to try to gain, you know, people's sympathy and votes and whatever else they're trying to do. But in the mid-year, you have a lot less of that. So you have a real better chance to connect. Also, you know, we do have and Jim Clymer's been great, and you know, he's been the stalwart along with a couple others in the Constitution Party. But we've got some new leadership, and you know, within the party, and I think that's going to be good because I think it's going to take us to another level of activism, of how we get things done, of where we're going to go and what we're going to do. And I think that's going to make a difference, too, over the next 2 to 4 years.
Yeah, I'm listening to you, and you're right on. I mean, you've got good enunciation, you're strong on your beliefs, your message is good. It just seems like there's a tremendous amount of conviction in you, and I, at least from what I read. And I know Randy's that way, but he's probably that way in his sleep, you know.
But, yes.
But, you know, because, I mean, you know, my background, I've built a lot of organizations, for-profit, non-profit, you know, developed strategies for growth and things like that. So I tend to look at this stuff a little bit probably differently than the average person that's looking at the party. And I'm, you know, so I can see strengths and weaknesses pretty quick. you know, and it's really neat to be talking to you guys around the country. The sheriff was talking about his vision because he's working with Sheriff Mack, and who actually endorsed him, who was the guy that took Clinton on the unconstitutional Brady bill that was trying to force, you know, sheriffs to be responsible for background checks. You know, you've,
right.
you, I'm sure you remember all that. And Sheriff Mack has endorsed this gentleman. And he's pretty fiery. I mean, the guy is fiery. He was great to talk to. But he had a vision that was just beyond trying to win. He didn't even want to run. He ran for the Senate against Rubio. And what happened was he started looking around. And you know, he left the party. He left the Republican. He was a Republican. He left the Republican Party, joined the Constitutional Party. Constitution Party. I keep saying that, constitutional. But Constitution Party. And he was looking around, and nobody was worth, you know, there wasn't anybody worth running. And then the Republican, you know, they found out he got was having a little extramarital thing going on there. And so the Republicans are freaking out, trying to find another candidate. And the Democrat that's in office is weak. But his vision, you know, in winning is to work with Sheriff Mack to create a platform across the country to create better constitutional sheriffs, because that's such a powerful position. People don't understand how powerful a sheriff is. A sheriff has more power than a senator does in their own state.
I
you know, and
delivered
so
our
just,
own.
Go ahead. I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
Well,
go
it's
ahead,
just
John.
Neat to see, it's just neat to see people that have a plan beyond I'm in an election, because that's all Romney has. All the people that have rolled over and kissed Romney's ring, it's just all about their whole plan is get Obama out. I mean, that's not a vision. You know, it's just the weakest thing I've ever experienced in my 54 years in, alive in this country.
Yeah.
And
as I've said before, being against,
you know, go ahead.
I tried to tell Republican for Republican, you know, being a principle isn't being against something. Principle is being for, you know, something. And I, it's not that I'm against Romney. I mean, I'm not going to support him, obviously, or Obama, but they don't measure up in terms of the principles that we are for, and,
you know,
that's why you're against them.
And that's something that, you know, we've talked a lot about on Bard's Logic is, you know, principle over party, you know, especially with how we've seen the Republican Party has conducted itself in this. And that's why I believe a lot of Republicans, disaffected Republicans, have left the party, because they once thought that the Republican Party was the party of principles, but they believe that no longer. I'm actually one of them. I mean, I'm not saying that all Republicans are, you know, bad and corrupt, but I'm saying as a party, they've lost a lot. And what they're going to lose even more of is, in my opinion, support. And they're going to want to find a place to go that will adhere to their principles and not just throw them off to the wayside for political expediency.
Well, you talk to, and I talk to, and we all talk to a number of people within the Republican Party who are conservatives and would make good, you know, Constitutional Party people.
Mm-hmm.
And but they're bound and determined that they think they're going to reform the Republican Party. And I get it every day. You do. Anybody that's within the Constitution Party gets that. They think they're going to be able to reform, and, you know, it's one of those things that we thought that in 92 with the Newt Gingrich and Boehner-led revolution of 94,
mm-hmm.
And with the Contract with America, not one thing was ever implemented long-term. Nothing ever came positive out of that. None of the promises were kept, because as soon as they got in power, they forgot all of those and they went back to being moderates in order to retain their power. And that sounds, I know, dire, but that's kind of the way it is. And you know, they, if you think you're going to reform the Republican Party, yet, you know, we've got what has the Republican Party given us besides Dole and then, you know, Bush 1 and 2, McCain, and now Romney. And that's just a national level. There are lots of people
at
the local levels that are good, and they've got some good conservative candidates here and there. But, you know, let's face it. You've got a Michelle Bachmann who, you know, everybody's holding up as the The Tea Party leader and all of that, she was totally shut out of any kind of Republican leadership. She and all the other Tea Party candidates weren't elected to one major position within the party. They weren't given one major any kind of chairmanship of anything. And Boehner and the leader Republican leadership shut them out. And same thing over in the Senate.
And that's probably why a lot of them, Nikki Haley, went ahead and just, as Chris puts it, kissed the Romney ring, probably in order to try to get more influence for themselves by doing that. Here they're supposed to be conservative, Tea Party, politicians, and then they turn around and endorse the worst candidate to run against Obama because he's pretty much just like him.
Right. And, that becomes pragmatism over principle. And just like party over pragmatism over principle, I just can't handle. I mean, I can't do that. And it's one of those things where, it has really irritated me that people like Michelle Bachmann, and I'm not just trying to pick on her,
sure.
It's whether you want to talk about Jim DeMint or any of those. And then certainly organizations from the National Rifle Association, the Buckeye Firearms, and all of these supposed, conservative Second Amendment groups I'm trying to think what other group I read today. They're all coalescing around Romney just, because they're against Obama. And, Romney has no credibility with regards to Second Amendment. Among other things, he's totally. It's kind of like I said. The Democrats have moved way far left into, what the Communist Party said we would head to, and all those. Saul Alinsky helped take it there, and so forth. But the Republicans unfortunately have moved to where I remember the Democrats being back in the '60s.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no doubt. Well, Sarah Palin busted her tail out there, used her political capital and her pizzazz to get a lot of Tea Party people elected and around the country, and they get elected and they just basically boot on the neck. The ones that weren't subverted, threatened, or bribed, to put in their place, the rest of them, they just put a boot on their neck. But of course, you were talking about the contract with America. I know Newt. I've listened to Newt speak for years. I know he wasn't happy when he left at what happened, because the Republican Party rolled right back into what he said was wrong with the party when he was trying to build that coalition to take, to actually have a majority. It was trying to get these guys to quit thinking like a second tier, we're always going to be number two party. And I've heard Newt talk about that kind of stuff. Sarah's
number one hint in creating contracts with America was one John Boehner.
Oh, I know. And then Boehner was one of the guys that tried to take him out as quick as possible when Newt was standing up against the Democrats. I mean, it's terrible. I guess we all wake up one day, or we don't. We wake up one day and we go, this is a joke. And I don't know. I have friends that want to stay in the Republican Party and continue to try to fix it and reform it. I don't know. Are you guys actually getting more and more calls from Republican people, Tea Party people, that are actually thinking about, I think it's time to really do something different?
Well, real quick, Chris, boy, I say that 10 times fast, is you mentioned the contract with America. I've got a small clip I'd like to play. It's only 34 seconds long. And this is what Romney had to say about what his thoughts were, or are, I should say, on the contract with America.
Let me tell you, in my view, it is not a good idea to go into a contract like what was organized by the Republican Party in Washington, laying out a whole series of things which the party said, these are the things we're going to do. I think that's a mistake. I think instead that if you want to get something done in Washington, you don't end up picking teams with Republicans on one side and Democrats on the other. entering into a contract and saying, okay, we're all going to do this, and then, of course, that works, then the other side feels like they're the loser. But if it wins, they feel like the winner. I don't like winners and losers in Washington. I'd rather say let's get together and work together.
From his own mouth.
Yes. You know, that's been kind of an interesting thing, you know, in terms of at the national level is, and again, Mr. Boehner is one of the most prolific at doing, you know, caving in to reach across the aisle. And who says we have to reach across the aisle? You know, that's one of those things that the Democrats certainly have learned not to do that. AKA when Nancy Pelosi literally locked the Republicans out of the how in the world she could get away with that. I don't understand how you can lock elected officials out of the congressional buildings and have the locks changed in order for them not to be part of the debate for Obamacare. And yet, you know, the next thing you have is the Republicans are now going to reach across the aisle and vote for it. And, you know, it's like, what? And
yeah, that's just one item.
That's what he's saying is we need to reach, you know, we've got to be compromisers. Let's face it, you know, that's what we've been since forever. That's what, you know, is too much compromise and not enough standing on principle and saying, no, we're going to stand on principle. And that's what happened with Boehner when he signed each time they think they're going to get some kind of something back when they compromise, and they don't, but they don't seem to learn their lesson that you've got to stand on principle and say, no, we're not caving.
I have a question to roll off, a little bit of a statement, and then you can tell me how crazy I am or even expand upon this. But in all my arguments, you know, I have Facebook groups that we do a lot. We're kind of a more of a work group because of the research that we've been doing. But one of the things that I said is I don't want to hear the news of the day because I don't, you know, don't tell me what Obama did unless you have the next article of somebody getting honest about what the Republicans did not do to stop him. Because, you know, we have control of the House. We have control of the purse strings. And in my opinion, call me crazy, I haven't seen Boehner do anything to stop Obama on anything. And then they're using that as a marketing strategy to scare the hell out of everybody about Obama so we'll vote in a liberal at the head of the Republican Party. What's your take on that?
Well, I'm in absolute agreement. As a matter of fact, I wrote John Boehner on that very issue and made the point that I couldn't see that all they've done is wring their hands. I don't have the article in front of me right now, but you know, I did write to him directly. That was about the time he caved and said, you know, what I could see is that they haven't done one thing to stop the Obama and his against the Constitution. He should have had indictment after indictment. He should have been impeached time and again and his staff should have been certainly. And, you know, the Republicans did absolutely nothing. And their mantra always is, well, you know, we can't do anything because it wouldn't, we don't control the Senate. We have to get the Senate majority. Well, you know what? You take the stand whether you can get anything done or not. And, you know, you tell them, you show the American people. And one of the things I wrote to John Boehner about was that, you know, with respect to repealing Obamacare, every time the Senate votes it down, you should re-vote it back in the House and send it back up again, and make them have to articulate why they're voting it down again. And you keep doing that, and you go ahead and you do it whether the Senate votes it down. That's the way the American people will see what you're doing and get and understand you're standing for principle, irrespective of the consequences. But they totally refuse to do that. And I said, you know, basically all I can see is that you're using it as a, you know, a political marketing campaign, because I get these calls about, oh, you got to say give us money because we can't do anything until we get control of the Senate, and so please send us money. And yet, you know, they haven't done anything to deserve any money.
Right on. Well, here's a spinoff of that, because I have some marketing in my background,
and
I have said this
Chris, real quick, go ahead and finish that, but I just want to let you know I have Samuel Samford, who is the host of Constitutional Conservatives Unite, on the line. Go ahead, Chris, and then when you are done, I will be bringing in Sammy. So go ahead, Chris. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I just wanted to get that out there, and go ahead.
Okay. But back to the concept of marketing. One of the things that I constantly say, and I just can't watch TV anymore because it makes me so damn mad, but they can't message for crap, because if they would explain to the American people, I mean, you know, not to over promote Newt, but Newt brought C-SPAN into Congress for a reason. He wanted the American people to see how government worked. He also wanted to platform that so that he could, you know, share the vision with Americans, and he found common ground with Americans in the Contract with America. He could have had 20 things on that list, but he picked things that he knew that Americans wanted, were behind, and he knew how to message that. And then it seems like when Newt left and the Republicans rolled over and became a bunch of moderates, or Democrats, in my opinion, that the Democrats learned what Newt did and have been using it against the Republicans ever since. You know, you got some input on that?
Well, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I even talked to John Boehner back when I was still supporting him. And if you remember, several years ago, after Obama's State of the Union message, you remember how much Bobby Jindal fell because of his poor delivery. And I suggested that to John Boehner that they get a house and get some people in there and speak to a crowd as far as their rebuttal. If you remember, they did that in the House of Virginia in the next after the next Obama State of the Union, and it was extremely well received. And, you know, I made the point to Boehner at that time that they needed to do that, and they needed to also pay for additional time after that. You know, they get 10 minutes free or 20, whatever it is, they ought to pay for an additional half hour to get their message. And his response was, well, I don't know if we could afford to do that. I said, well, you just spent $1 million on Didi Scozza-Fazza, and, for, you know, an ultra-liberal, you should have taken that money and sent it and used it wisely to get a message out.
You're awesome. You know,
there's
not
like
a
that. I do. I really, yeah, there you go. That's telling them. And
there's not a more boring, well, let me throw this out. There's not a more boring human being in front of a mic and camera than John Boehner. I'm sorry. Go ahead, guys.
Well, that's why he thinks, I guess he thinks if he cries, he might have to, he might get something out of the people. He might get some kind of reaction from them. So maybe that's why he cries in front of the camera. I don't know. But speaking of someone who, about being heard, is I've got Samuel Samford on the line. I'm going to open up his mic. Thank you very much, Sammy, for coming in. How are you tonight?
Hey, Robert, doing good. We
doing what?
Chris,
doing good.
We're doing good. We have an awesome patriot that's running for a sheriff here in Florida, and I'm awesome to hear Don Schrader. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
And I mean, I am very much enjoying your conversation. We have a guy here from Ocala, Florida, running under the Constitution Party, and he spoke a lot like you. And Randy, the vice chair of the Constitution Party, was online.
Yes.
And I did not want to run too far over into Robert's show, because what is your idea on NDAA? I'm not sure if I maybe missed part of this on NDAA and Agenda 21.
Okay. Let's take it back from like a couple of the others have done, and go back. But, you know, one of those things that, first of all, obviously NDAA is horrible, and it's both necessary in its basic, because you got to have national authorization in order for the defense department, and that, well, since I work with the Department of Defense on a regular basis, believe me, I know what's happening there, and it's not pretty. But you know, the other side of that, where they're continuing to infringe upon the rights of citizens, is just absolutely unthinkable. But why is it unthinkable when it was the Republicans, you know, Bush and Boehner and those group that gave us that indefensible Patriot Act, and just the horrendous Department of Homeland Security and with its TSA and its all the other things with the coalition, the FBI and the CIA and all of those things that they just, I mean, you know, in the hopes of providing some false security. I mean, they were hoping to provide security. What they provided was a false sense of security within our borders. I just remember today on the news they're talking about they were going to have a big expose on, you know, now that we've had security in the airports, what about the perimeter of the airports? And, you know, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base is changing all kinds of stuff because somebody in an accident ran through one of their chain link fences and bent it up some. So they're going to now put in hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars probably, and rerouting everything around the base in order to secure it. And we've just lost our collective minds trying to secure things. And, you know, and then what makes you think that if the Republicans would give us the Patriot Act, that they and the Democrats wouldn't give you us the NDA in a continuing effort to, quote, give us security? And, you know, it was Hitler who said we now have the most secure nation in the world. And sure enough, if you get enough government, you can have great security, just as the Romans gave up under their republic and, you know, gave up their republic for security, economic first, and then military. And so they got, you know, the dictatorships that they got. And that's kind of what we're doing is, you know, the old thing that a government's big enough to give you everything is big enough to take everything you have. And if it gives you, you know, your security. And our forefathers just warned us again and again and again about this kind of being a lack of responsibility on a personal level. And the other thing goes back to Sheriff Mack. I understand he is endorsing the sheriff there, which is absolutely great. I had copies of his book, had him sign it, and delivered it to my sheriff here locally. A good guy, but I'm not sure he totally grasped or believes. He certainly grasped the concept. He's not dumb. But, you know, it's those things that getting these sheriffs to believe and understand that they are a strong force, can be a strong force for defending the Constitution that they've taken an oath to uphold. And that, you know, they would take Sheriff Mack's advice, and when any federal officer even or whoever comes in and for an unconstitutional reason, you escort them to the border of the county and you say, don't come back in or I'm going to put you in my jail.
I love it.
And that is awesome. And, I mean, thank you for your honest answer. I deeply respect it. And, I don't have too much longer on the show tonight because I got to call into another show in a few minutes. But, I mean, Robert, who is running Blarg Talk Radio, made my show big by his awesome comments and his awesome information that he gave. And so I have to support a patriot brother. And I know I have gone completely the Constitution Party 100%. And once this election's over, I'm changing my registration here in Florida. And we will have, and Robert, would you mind if I advertise?
No, I don't mind at all, Sammy. Go ahead.
We're going to have Bernie DeCastro for sheriff in Marion County on the show Sunday night, along with the Florida State Chair of the Constitution Party. And we will be running that show probably at, I'm looking at 9 o'clock, and I apologize if that runs over to anybody else's shows. But these gentlemen cannot They're in politics. They're out there running every day. They're doing things for the parties. And Robert is an eloquent, awesome patriot. Randy, who is now my vice chair, is an awesome patriot, and so is Chris. And Lugnut, a.k.a. Kim and Tim. And, I mean, we've been out here fighting every day now for months and months and months. We got screwed by the RNC, and so we had to find other parties to go to. And that's the reason I'm out here, and this awesome gentleman running this radio show is awesome. But good night, everybody, and we will see you on the flip side.
I appreciate that, Tammy. Thank you very much, and you take care, and thanks for the kind words.
You're very
welcome.
And
welcome to the party. We're glad to have – we need people that, you know, understand the vision and are willing to get behind it and support it, and that's what it's going to take in order to turn this country around.
What? Here, one other thing. Please, if you're on Facebook, please friend the Constitutional Party Rocks. You don't have to friend. You just got to like it.
Okay.
And it's an avenue for everybody to get information out there about the Constitution Party. And
right.
But rock on, Patriot. I'm down here in North Florida, and luckily we do have a Constitution Party legally on the ballot. And I don't have to write in Mr. Awesome Honorable Virgil Goot or Mr. Clymer, because they are on the ballot, and that's who I am voting for, plain and simple. But I'm a I'm a traitor to the Republican Party. But Robert, you keep up the great show, and good night, everybody.
Thank you, Sammy. You take care, buddy.
I have a question. If you don't have something right now, Robert.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Chris. I'm actually got something going on over here that I need to take
okay.
care of. So if you don't mind,
that's all right.
I told you about it in our chat. Go ahead and roll with it.
Here's a question for you, sir. I heard this earlier today, and somebody made this comment, because I know that the Constitution Party and all the guys that we've interviewed and Virgil Goode, that, you know, we're, you know, very much like Ron Paul, let's get the heck out of the rest of the world where we don't belong, but use our brains in doing it. But I heard somebody today make a comment that, you know, this isolationist comment came up, because that was, you know, people's favorite term for Dr. Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this, you know, the difference between non-interventionists and isolationists. Can you clarify that? You know, give a little better explanation of the position of the party on our involvement in 900 bases around the world.
Yeah, I can speak to it to some degree. Okay, you know, it's one of those things that guys like Darrell Castle and so forth, you know, are certainly much better to articulate that. And to be honest about it, I'm probably a little more of a hawk than some of the others when it comes right down
that's
to
okay.
it. But at the same time,
No, that's fine. It's good.
But at the same time, and one of the things I checked before, that was one of the areas that I absolutely called Scott Bartlett before I would join the Constitution Party. I wanted to know, because in reading their platform, if I had a concern with the platform, there were a couple areas, and one of them was exactly that. How much are they isolationists versus non-intervention? And
right.
And I think that's one of those things that there's some variance in the party beyond that. Some people are probably more, you know, pulled out completely and, you know, just defend our borders. I certainly understand that. I don't happen to quite agree with that, just personally, but understand the party platform is that we will and I totally agree with this, the party platform, is that, you know, we are not to be the world's policeman. We just can't, it's not just we just can't afford it, it's not right. You know, it's like,
right.
I totally disagreed with Bush when he, in Iraq, and without debating the issues of whether we should have been in Iraq or not, but when he switched from defending America to regime change, I said that's totally wrong. We're not there about regime change. If you can tell me we're there to defend America and defend our people, that's I can accept that. But when you tell me we're there for regime change, then why aren't we about regime change in Somalia, and why aren't we about regime change in all these other places? We're not about
Iran.
Regime change. We're about defending America. That may mean that we have alliances with certain people, and that's the one area probably we have some disagreement. I'm a little more hawkish about. I think that the Constitution absolutely put in place, that's the whole reason for the Senate and approval of the, you know, we don't just go out and make it by executive decision. You do it with the approval of the Senate. That's why they were allowed to make treaties and so forth, so that we could set up proper alliances with other nations to work together to preserve freedom and, you know, do so in our best interest. There are times when it may be in our best interest, but what we've done is gone into where we're the world's policeman, and that's absolutely wrong. And you know, we need to bring people home. There's disagreement over it again. How fast, even though what we agree is we can't be the world's policeman. We need to bring our troops basically home and have them here for our defense.
Well, you look at Randy, you know, a Marine. I mean, you look at the whole history of the Marines. The Marines and the initial ships were built to protect our trade in the world, you know, to protect our interests. And somewhere along the line, that's become a puppet game show that we have going on in the world, and I believe most of us are really starting to grasp this, that we're losing that game because the rest of the world plays us against ourselves. I don't even know, you know, when you hear anything in the news, doesn't matter what it is, Syria, Iran, whatever, you know you're not hearing the whole truth anymore. You know, everybody's playing everybody against everybody, and I think that people are getting sick of it. And I'm not sure that, well, I'd put money on the table that neither Obama or Romney have America's interests at heart. I think they're just going to continue on with the same policies because they're controlled by the same people.
Well, it's ingrained to them. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any difference which they are or who they are. It becomes something that it becomes our way of thinking. And you know, we talk about thinking outside the box, but we don't do it typically. And you know, we go with what is comfortable. It's very difficult to make decisions against the grain. And that's what the Constitution Party is doing, is they're making decisions against the grain. And that's uncomfortable to people, but if they're elected, they're going to go with what's comfortable, and what's comfortable is what is.
This was actually a question that I, if I can just keep rolling on you, is that all right?
Absolutely.
My mind's full of questions. But back to something I was just starting off earlier was the question about your guys' platform, to me, is what the Tea Party was all about. And so we've had this wave of Tea Party exposure. We've had this wave of people getting elected under the Tea Party banner. Of course, most of them have been co-opted by the RNC game and corruption. But are you guys getting more and more people in positions who got elected as Tea Party people having conversations and asking about, you know what I mean, putting the feelers out about, man, if this RNC gets any worse, I need a place to go. Are you guys getting more of that?
You know, in Ohio, I haven't seen it yet. In other states, I know Randy's had, you know, people come to him and say, we're out of here. You know, we're coming over to you. I know the Tea Party has supported. And the Tea Party in Ohio did support Robert Owens for Attorney General in the last election, which is probably why he got a couple hundred thousand votes, even though he didn't win, up against, of course, the Republicans running ultra-liberal Mike DeWine. But, you know, surprising who was the party chair at the time, his second cousin. But anyhow, you know, it's one of those things where we have it, and it is one of those things where it's difficult because and there's many people that I think were part of the Tea Party movement in a hope that it was what it was not. The Tea Party, you know, and I've talked to leadership in the Tea Party, and because I've been concerned when they had rallies, they were willing to give up their Second Amendment rights to meet here, to do whatever. That was locally. That's been at the state level. That's been at the Dayton level. That's been at, you know, and it's like, I'm not willing to give up my Second Amendment rights just to attend a Tea Party rally. I'm not willing to give up other rights. And I've had them tell me, you know, we have to unite around getting rid of Obamacare and the TARP stuff. We can't get involved with things like anti-abortion and Second Amendment. There are other groups doing that, and that's not our focus. And I think that what happened in the Tea Party is that, you know, a lot of it was that a lot of good people wanted constitutional reform to constitutional government, and they were hoping that the Tea Party was that mechanism. And so I'm hoping we can get the message out so those kinds of people say, oh, well, they weren't it, but we can come over to the Constitution Party because they are it. And that's really kind of where we are, you know, in Dayton. You know, I have had conversations with the guy who was the head and emails back and forth. But now then, the guy who was the head of the Tea Party in Dayton is now head of the Republican, group for Montgomery County.
I think there's a marketing. I got to think about this and talk to Randy. But I think there's a marketing. There's always catchphrases and words, you know, because the Tea Party's has a national recognition. And
yes,
like what you were saying, there was a heart, you know, a belief in it, and it's been co-opted by corruption and by progressives and by the Republican Party, because I remember the news that the Democrats were saying, oh, this is just a wing of the Republican Party, and then everybody on Fox saying, oh, no, it's not, it's a grassroots thing. Well, it turned out it was. And I think that there's a marketing strategy boiling around in the back of my mind in terms of terminology of hey, you missed the real Tea Party while you were keeping your eyes focused on the Republicans. We're over here. You know, something, you know, that could be co-opted and run and potentially help you guys get that message out.
I'm as Frazier says, I'm listening.
Yeah, well, I got, you know what? I'll have to go out and, like, work in my yard or something. It'll come to me. Yeah,
okay.
And we'll roll it around.
Because that's the kind of stuff that I understand what you're saying, and it's got it's something that seems fruitful, but I don't like you. I don't have it. I can't define it off the top of my head as to how to hit it. But you know, that's the kind of thing. I think that absolutely there are people out there who aligned with the Tea Party, aligned with other parties too, and you know, some of it was we weren't there. We weren't there for them when they needed somebody, and
right.
it turned out those parties, or the, well, it's the Tea Party or other, maybe even political parties that, you know, would really like to align. And I think that's part of it, is that we have to get our message out, and we have to, again, as I said, we have to seem like we're real and we're going to be there now for the long run, so that they can say, you know what, I want to go over there and join that. And it's one of those things. Nobody wants to be first. Everybody wants to wait to see that everything else is going to work and is in place. But, you know, and that's where right now we're looking for people in the Constitution Party in Ohio that are willing to step out and be those that are first and help us get this organized and off the ground, so that there are others that will come and say, yeah, I want to be part of that too.
Well, I think that one of the things that we noticed for us who came out of the Republican Party, you know, most of us, who had, for lack of a better term, people like me who had big mouths and, you know, was at the front of groups and people listened to us. And then what happened was we started doing this third-party research, and Robert and I have had this discussion, but we were putting, you know, at the top, like when you do when you build the interview for the, because this is an online platform. And so when people click on it, you know, it comes up and there's a title and a description. Well, what happens when we used to post this stuff over hundreds of sites, you know, all through the primaries, all through up to brokered convention when everybody was still fighting Romney and fighting the machine, you know, everybody let us post. And all of a sudden when we started talking about third party after Romney stole the convention down there, people start kicking us off because they would see third party, you know, Randy from the Constitution Party interviewed tonight. And so it started costing us places that we could get the message out. So I had talked to Robert and said, you know, we got to take the third party conversation out of this and start talking about the content of what we're talking about, which is the Constitution, which is the Tea Party principles, which is restoring our country, saving our country, whatever, and change the terminology so that we don't have such an adverse front reaction to getting our message out there. And so, you know, so often it's that message because everybody's scared to death of a third party is going to lose Romney. And if Romney loses, then we get Obama. And I'm not sure either one of those is a solution to anything. You know, 8 years of Romney and 4 years of an enemy we already know. You know, I could argue that point all night. But you know what I'm saying? So it's messaging. Because the world is clamping down. I've never experienced censorship like I have talking about third parties. It's been an amazing thing. And, of course, we will overcome it because it's a legitimate message. There's nobody out there that doesn't want what you guys offer. It's just getting getting past the barriers, the fear, the anger, the fear is the big one. You know, getting past that where people listen to the message because – all of my ex-Newt friends who have now kissed Romney's ring would want to be in on these discussions because all of them care about our country, conservatism, and grassroots and the Constitution, but they're not hearing the message because they're afraid we're talking about third party and it'll cost Romney the election. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. If Randy has said this too, and I've said it, and that is if all those people who said that a third party can't win, if all those people who said they want constitutional government, what irks me is people like the Freedom Works who try to claim that they're a conservative base, that they're going to, you know, return constitutional government, and yet, you know, they wouldn't give us a the time of day. They won't let us in on their national debates, much less the national debate out of Denver or something, debate between the presidents. They won't let us on their platform to describe what a constitutional government and who is upholding a constitutional government and what it means. You know, we aren't going to be allowed on any of those at this point, although I'm certainly, since I'm also part of the National Executive Committee, I'm going to start pushing for some things like that. I've already started doing that. And it's like, you know, I can't afford to be timid. We've got to try to push into some of those and get those people because there are those people out there that are looking for that and wondering where to go. And, you know, but they are afraid to make the move to a third party because they've under that banner, third party can't win. You're just taking votes. I mean, I've had people that I've really had hopes for as being real conservatives. And yet that's exactly the point they come back to is that, well, but if you vote for, you know, Virgil Goode, you're taking votes away from Romney. Well, you know what, that might be true, and that might not be true, some of those people aren't going to vote for anybody, if that's what the choice is. But, you know, the other thing that I think that has to happen, besides trying to get some of those people, is also maybe coalescing some of the conservatives within parties and so forth, so that we get a bigger base. And, you know, I truly believe in the Constitution Party and its message and its platform as being the most totally constitutional of any of the platforms. And, you know, there are those parties that are given to certain causes, like the Green Party. I'm not, you mm-hmm. know, that's one of those things. Agree or disagree, they're about a certain cause. Our cause is about constitutional government, and I think that's a broader umbrella, if you will, as to those things that we're trying to affect. And we're not after a single cause. And I think that some of those single cause, not all of them for sure, could come under, you know, under the broader umbrella of returning to constitutional government.
Right. Well, here's one I'll give you for free.
Okay.
Just to think about. One of the things that, even though it is coming up on a presidential election, and yes, you want to get Virgil to get, you know, his 3, 4, 5% in every state that he can, because that's going to get ballot access is going to improve. But one of the things that I'm finding that is a non-argument with everybody that I know, regardless of Romney, you know, the top of the ticket with Repubs, is the fact that we need constitutional Senate, Congress, State House, sheriffs, governors. And so the down-ballot conversation is another one of those conversations that crosses all party lines. Because and what I've said to people is that what you need to do is you need to, you know, do you care about getting a constitutional senator in? Do you care about getting a constitutional House rep? Or what about your state or a sheriff or a governor? And they go, yes. And I go, well, then, regardless of who you're voting for at the top of the ticket, you need to look at these guys' platform, and you need to look at who they're running in these positions. And it's simple because you ask the question, do you trust the Tea Party people that we voted in? And most people are going, no, I feel like they betrayed us, or most of them. And you go, mm-hmm. Well, great, I got some guys that won't. And they're just not, they just don't happen to be Republicans, but do you care if the Constitution is printed on their heart? And they're like, no, I'm open to that. So it's that conversation opener that's non-threatening to that fear of Obama top of the ticket conversation.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think a lot of that was going to happen, unfortunately, after the election, but I think that's when it's going to happen, when whoever gets elected. You know, I think that either one of those getting elected is going to be a great recruiting tool for the Constitution Party. And whether it's
I think if Romney gets elected, that the GOP is going to be in sad shape. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No.
Well, I think if he doesn't get elected, that the party will have a reset, and the conservatives will have a chance to potentially, you know, take it back over. If he gets elected, it's the Democratic wing of the Socialist Party forever until it falls. That's my opinion. Sorry, go ahead.
I've said, and people really hate me when I say this, but, you know, I had a friend of mine that asked me, Don, what's it going to take to wake these people up? And he was asking in earnest and didn't, you know, and I told him, and he didn't like the answer. But, you know, it's basically, it may be the election of Barack Obama for a second term that finally, you know, like he awakened the Tea Party the first time, maybe this time, you know, we would see a reaction to true, you know, sticking to a constitutional government and through the Constitution Party. I mean, that's where I would see that. I think that, and I've said before, if Romney gets elected, we're going to go into a national swoon. Everything's wonderful now. I mean, the conservatives are all going to do it. And for a while, that's what's going to happen. What you're going to have, though, ultimately with Romney is he's got to rise, his views have to rise to the top, and people hopefully will then finally understand that he is not the savior to the country that they hoped he was going to be. I mean, you talk about your hope for change. Voting for Romney is a false hope for change. And, you know, when that doesn't happen, then that's where we need to be in place to say, okay, here we are. We're the real thing. We're the real deal. We're the ones standing for the Constitution. We're the ones standing on principle, and we're not going to back down.
Well, I've said to people, and I agree with you 100%. I've said to people that you just don't understand what Romney means. We already know what Obama means. I mean, I've known about Obama since he's been elected. I just never could figure out why the Republicans allowed him to get away with everything. But he's an enemy. He's an enemy that's very easy to figure out. I mean, he's had 4 years of record, you know.
Well,
so regardless, thing, you know, who gets – go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the one thing I've always said about Obama is in one sense he is honest. He goes out and tells you he's going to violate the Constitution, and then he goes ahead and does it, and the Republicans don't do a thing about it. And you know, it's amazing how much they – you know, whereas the Democrats would obviously, with a Republican president, be more than willing to bring charges and impeachment proceedings against any Republican for any drop of the hat. You know, we've allowed Obama to just continually trash the Constitution. We know that he is intending to do that. I mean, My point about him being he was supposedly a constitutional lawyer. That was his subject. And I make the point. I don't doubt it. He's like, you know, he studied it not to uphold it, but to trash it. You know, one of the things you do is you learn what the opposition is in order to take it out. And that's what he's done, in my view. And he's going to continue to, because he doesn't like the America, just like his wife said, he doesn't like the America that is here. He doesn't, you know, he believes in the Saul Alinsky type of government. And he's not going to be, you know, he's their puppet. He's really the puppet. You know, people don't understand also the power behind Obama is not, you know, Obama's not the power. It's the Valerie Jarretts of the world that people have never heard of that are pulling the strings back behind the scenes.
Mr. Soros.
Yes, George Soros. Yeah. More people have heard of him than they have of Valerie Jarrett. But,
right.
You know, and some of those. But, you know, the other side of that is, and I kind of sent this to some family members earlier today, you know, what the unmitigated support of Romney by the conservative base is that we have further reinforced what we told the Republican Party in the past by supporting McCain, Dole, Bush 1 and 2, among others, that supposed conservatives will vote for anybody, no matter how liberal they are, as long as they are not a Democrat, and especially not Obama. We have now proven beyond a shadow of a doubt to Boehner, McConnell, and the rest of Republican leadership that they do not have to pay any attention to the conservative side, the Michelle Bachmans, who folded under pressure like a wet blanket, much less the rest of us, because in the end we will, and that's, you know, euphemistically, we will all fall in line behind them. So to stay in power is in their best interest to continue to pick a super moderate to liberal in an attempt to appeal to the widest class of voters, because we conservatives will not stick to principle. We have told them that we will fold for pragmatism every time. Down south, where he was, you know, with respect to the Democrats, that used to be referred to as a yellow dog Democrat. I guess we now have a large contingent of red dog Republicans. If everyone who says they are conservative or stated that they want constitutional government voted for Virgil, we could truly make a difference. What we will get now is business as usual, no matter who wins. Our country will continue its downhill slide into anarchy and oligarchy, just a matter of slope.
That's that needs to be published. Wow. Red dog Republicans. Can we use that term?
They use it. I'm not.
That's awesome. Yeah, you nailed it. You nailed it. I look at the Tea Parties. You know, I've been pretty calm ever since the convention, because I figured whatever happens, happens. And I just kind of sit and watch the fallout and watch people roll over day by day by day. Well, we got to support Romney. We got to back Romney. We got to vote for Romney. Rah, rah, Romney. And I'm like going, did you guys forget everything that I heard you fighting for this whole primary? A million people would have got up and signed a petition and said, we will not vote for this man no matter what you do. You're breaking the rules. You're breaking the laws. Get rid of him and have an open convention. 2 million people. They would have done it. But the problem is they didn't do it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, Chris, there is one thing that I seen today which kind of made me chuckle. You'll be familiar with this phrase term, I should say, not quite a phrase. As I seen a Facebook page that were referring to Romney Zombies, which I thought was interesting, because that was a term I used to use, I still use it, about the folks who just blindly have drank the Kool-Aid and are like, now are like, Romney, you know, even those folks who were so adamantly opposed to Romney in the primaries, is what it was, is that Kool-Aid they drank was laced with a lot of fear, and now the fear has consumed them instead of them consuming it, and now that has thrown them into the Romney zombies, in which now they just go around and try to eat up other people as zombies will do, to try to turn them into just like them. But what we got to make sure we don't do, and I kind of like the analogy, since this is the Halloween season, that we do not allow that these folks turn us into Romney zombies as well.
Yeah, it's just, to me, what's really scary about the election isn't Obama. It is the unmitigated support of Romney. I mean, I have here in my hand, this is the September issue Freedom Magazine from the NRA, and here's David Keene, the president, you know, telling about how Romney's such a friend to the NRA.
And
I called the NRA ILA, I've called the NRA, I've called the membership thing, and I've, you know, and they're like, well, thank you for your opinion, you know. And then it turns out now the Buckeye Firearms is doing the same thing and having a Romney rally, and then all the Tea Party groups and around that are, you know, having, you know, come and help us get out the Romney thing. And I talked to an NRA guy who is here locally when I was at my local gun club, and he came and spoke briefly before we kicked him out. But, you know, about he was there to be a political activist on behalf of the NRA for Romney. And, well, he was against Obama. I mean, that was it. You know, we got to get Obama. This guy is going to be our – and I said, well, who are you going to support? Well, who else? Romney. I said, well, and what makes you think he's a friend of anything having to do with the Second Amendment?
He shot a varmint once, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in my opinion, one thing I think is even more hypocritical than them doing that is when it looks unfortunately apparent that Romney was indeed going to get the nomination. And you probably know something about this, Don, is that the Ohio Right to Life, and this is while you still had folks such as Newt Gingrich still actively running, the Ohio Right to Life endorsed Mitt Romney. I mean,
really?
Yes, it did.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth, Tim. It's literally unbelievable. I mean, I was flabbergasted. I even had to, you know, wrote a little note that they probably just ignored it.
You know what I have in my files, Robert? I have a petition from Romney donating money to Planned Parenthood so he could get their endorsement when he ran for governor.
Well, he signed the first Gay Marriage Act in the country.
He pushed it through.
I made the point in my speech up when we had the state meeting, is that he is a bigger flip-flopper than Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
He holds his political finger up in the air, figures out what will be a popular position, and goes there. He has no moral conviction.
I've heard him do it in the same sentence, and nobody calls him on it.
Yeah, like when he supported the traditional marriage between a man and a woman, but at the same time said that he supports gay couples' rights to adopt children. That was on national TV.
And if I was interviewing him, I would have my jaw would have hit the table, but that person didn't even flinch. I don't live in fear, but you know, so I got to be careful how I say this. But what I have told people all my life, there's always going to be men who want power. There's always going to be men who want to tell you what to do. There's always going to be men with bad intentions in their power. Those are the people that scare me. It's the idiots that vote them into power that scare me. You know, when you look at Austria, you know, when they were in there coming out of the Depression and they were still struggling, and they, and Hitler had taken over Germany, the Austrians actually had a national vote to have Hitler come into their country and take them over and save them. And that right there should be enough to tell you just how dangerous the masses are and why our founding fathers did not make a democracy.
Well, I make the point, again, the letter I wrote earlier today, you know, so you tell me, when are we going to start taking our country back? You know, well, we think we can do it gradually by electing Nixon or Reagan or Bush or McCain or Dole or Romney. History has proven otherwise. We are also comfortable and regulated in our own lives that we don't want to rock the boat. Dietrich Bonhoeffer tried to warn the Germans of the impending disaster before Hitler. While he is now considered a revered prognosticator, in his day he was considered a weird nut by the Germans who were just trying to cause political turmoil and split their country. The Germans were lucky that they had the Americans to rescue them. Who's going to rescue us from our madness? As Edmund Burke put it so eloquently, all is necessary for a triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I this is a time that I've seen a lot of good men really fight hard to do something and get squashed by the masses and the media and the money people. Because I know you guys have been fighting hard. I know Ron Paul fought hard, and his people fought hard. You know, they ran two campaigns back-to-back against all odds and still made it to the floor with enough states to be, you know, to be on the first ballot. And through crime, and John Boehner, you know, didn't have the opportunity to speak and actually be voted on. There's been some good people fighting hard. I don't think I've ever seen
Absolutely. So many good people fight so hard.
You know. But there are a lot of masses who we're talking about
who claim they want constitutional government, but who say, you know, we're going to take the easy way out.
Right.
And that's
I didn't mean to counter what you said. I was just reflecting. You know what I'm saying about all that. I didn't mean to counter that. You're absolutely correct on that. Sorry. Go ahead.
You know, it is. It's one of those things where we are. You know, and those good people that you're talking about that are out there fighting, we're the ones that are, in my view, the hope for America. We're the ones, and some of them, like I say, there are good people in the Republican Party fighting to change the Republican Party. I wish them well. I've been there for too long. As I say, I didn't get these gray hairs for nothing. But, you know, fighting to try to make that change. And basically the Constitution Party is made up of a lot of people who have tried and have been those activists trying to change the Republican Party, trying to move it back to constitutional government, move it back to a party of true principle and standing for conservatism. And yet, you know, you can even take, it's amazing, you know, even a Rush Limbaugh, and now I'm going to get in real trouble, but, you know,
right.
He can take on and talk about the Republicans, and yet in the final analysis, where is he today?
Well,
you know,
he rolled over.
He rolled over, just like the rest of them. And of course, Sean Hannity has always been an arm of the Republican Party, but, you know, as much as he tries to claim he's critical of them, he's never been really critical of any of them. But, you know, it's disappointing when somebody could really make a difference, like a Rush Limbaugh, you know, it rolls over. And those are the kinds of things that, but we have good people. We don't have maybe, and I thank you, Robert, for this show and for others that are beginning. And that may be the real hope for this country, is this kind of an underground communications devices that start get people going, and we let people know about that, and they tell somebody else, and that kind of stuff. And, you know, we overcome the national media, so whether it's the liberal left or the supposed conservative right, because the conservative right in the national context has rolled over, and they're not that conservative, not principled when it comes right down to it.
Well, you know, one of the things that I've studied through this whole primary was the Paul movement, and I have a lot of I'm on probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 or 8 sites, and I'm actually interviewing some people tomorrow night, and I was kind of fat. I didn't know that much about Ron Paul, and so I decided to get up and go researching, because, you know, I saw everybody in the primary, and then all of a sudden I didn't hear anything about him, and I remember sitting down one night, and, you know, I live on laptops, I don't have computers, so got in bed, and I said, okay, tonight I'm going to research, you know, fraud in the GOP primary. And I started seeing stuff, because all these young Paul people were all techie. You know, they grew up in this stuff, and they had video phones, and they could throw a YouTube video together. And I started tracking that whole movement that nobody was talking about. I mean, when they were showing Romney trying to make it look like he had, you know, 1,000 people at a meeting, Ron Paul was pulling 6,000 people at Texas A&M at the college to his convention, not one camera. And the only way I knew about it was the internet. And I started realizing two things. One is it's all a lie, the first one. Number two, I started learning more about Ron Paul, which was good. And number three, I started getting an admiration for their organized fight. and they fought, and they and they're still fighting. You know, they control 11 states right now at the state level, so they haven't given up. But there's a lesson to be learned in studying that organization, because it's amazing how fast they can get stuff done, how fast communication travels, how quick they can put together a video, how quick they can put together evidence to prove that something was done wrong. There's somebody needs to study that movement and pull, you know, the power plays out of that movement. It would make a difference for this party.
You know, and that's one of those things that you're absolutely right, that we need to understand how to deal with the media. I mean, let's face it, that was one of Obama's strong points in the last election was, you know, he was using the avant-garde media where the Republicans didn't even understand what it was.
Yeah.
And you know, I fear that in some respects, well, that's again some of the changes that are going on in the Constitution Party, is that I think some of the old guard was probably some of that staid, you know, way of doing business, the way they've done in the past. You have guys like Randy who now, you know, have their own blogs. They understand how that works. They, you know, they're working that. I have to admit, I don't do Facebook and I don't do Twitter, but I went out and got somebody that does. I got a gal that she actually is head of an independent Tea Party up north and gets really aggravated with all the, quote, national Tea Parties and all the other Tea Parties supporting and all these that are just, she'll claim, they're, you know, become political arms of the Republican Party. But, you know, she loves to do Facebook. And I said, and she wanted to get involved with the party. I said, you be my Facebook. You know, you like to do Facebook? Here, you go do that. I got another young gal. She's, you know, 20s, and she loves to do, and the gal who did Facebook said, I don't know how to do Twitter. I said, well, and I got another young gal, like I say, early 20s. She loves to do Twitter. I got her. She's doing our Twitter stuff. And so, you know, what we have to do is feed them, because I didn't understand Twitter, and I admit that. You know, I'm first to tell you, I don't understand it. And she said, well, we got to send out something every day. And I'm kind of like, I don't like all these emails I get on a daily basis from all these people. We sure. She said, no, that's the way you do Twitter. And I started checking around. Sure enough, that's what you do on Twitter. So not just every day, but every, you know, every few hours. So
every hour. Every hour.
So we're trying to get that, you know, rolling so we take advantage of that, even if it's not me doing it. I don't know. I can't do everything. Don't want to do everything. My goal is to get these other people doing that kind of stuff and get into that.
Right.
The other thing that I do want to do, and what we got, I know we'll run up against time. And if you got any other questions, I'm more than happy. I've enjoyed this whole 2 hours. Love it.
Let me look at my notes while you're talking.
But
go ahead.
One of the things, the other things that I have as a long-term goal for the state of Ohio. I know Randy has talked to you guys about he's wanting to get this young constitutionalist group. He has a different view of the young constitutionalists than I do, and not that they can't work together. I mean, it's just the different takes on it. But is that he wants to do it at the college level, kind of like the Young Republicans and Young Democrats, which I have no problem with. I mean, that's great, and he's got a young man that seems to want to kind of head that up, and they've got a vision, and I'm all for it. I'm looking more in the state of Ohio. What I want to do is take across the state of Ohio, set up basically the format and the way it works for what I'm looking for is young constitutionalists at the high school level.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to see us get, you know, and I would more than work with Randy on getting, you know, the colleges so that these kids go up and feed the college ranks of the young constitutionalists type of thing. But I kind of want to high school level, and I talked, as a matter of fact, I had a principal today call me from over in the Columbus area who wants to get involved with the Constitution. He wants to be a county leader, and when I talked to him about this concept of constitutionals, man, he was all over it. And that is to get our young, you know, really get at the high school, and I, here locally I've got my grandchildren that are high school age, and I want to see them get them, because they don't know anything about the Constitution really, and they are homeschooled, so they know a little more than the average public school. But
right,
you know, the whole idea is to start getting these young people engaged in not only just studying the Constitution, that's boring, but actually applying the Constitution. And so my goal is to kind of get it where we start studying the Constitution and we start helping them debate what it would look like under for this particular area, what would a constitutional government look like. And as they begin to do that and they begin to realize the power of the of a constitutional government, a true constitutional government as given to us by our forefathers, that it could solve so many of our problems from economic to social to whatever. And we go back to those people. When they see that, you get young people where they want to be engaged. You know, what I'm hoping for is to see a reverse revolution of the 60s.
Right. And I was going to add something there that, you know, we started a state sovereignty program on Robert's show with a few people. And we've been so busy interviewing people, we kind of slipped a little bit. But it's creating those environments that are exciting, that educate people. You know, we went back to the founding of the country and Kelly Mordecai, who wrote the book, The Hidden Fourth Branch, has been in on it and meeting some of you guys. I've been inviting you guys to come on board and let's have these conversations. Let's have these kind of educational moments where we can talk and churn and build that listener base. You know, that's one thing. And another thing I was going to add I'm what they call ambitiously lazy. Don't recreate the wheel. Newt Gingrich created a whole national movement of youth leadership. And I don't remember what that was called. You guys might remember it. But he had a platform, and part of why they won back Congress was because they started that 10, 15 years earlier. Not that we have 10, 15 years anymore, but we also live in a faster information network. And I wonder if somebody can get a hold of that material and look, because he has a very brilliant strategic mind. And get a hold of that material and see what can be adapted out of that for applying to the youth of this country. Thoughts?
You know, I've never been one to reinvent the wheel. I think I'm very creative and you know, out of the box thinking. But I've always never said if somebody's already got it down, and no sense me trying to reinvent it.
Yeah, we should look for that because I remember, you know, I was young in that era, but I've heard about the program and what they did because that's what gave them ultimate control of Congress was because they started in the communities and built young leaders. So, you know, I mean, it's just food for thought. You know, I don't know. It was just an idea.
Well, I think that's the kind of thing, you know, because this isn't going to happen overnight. It's one of those things that what I've said is kind of the vision, you know, where we want to go in the state of Ohio, and I hope we are successful such that we can be a pattern for other groups. So while other groups are being successful, there are, you know, across the country, there are areas where the Constitution Party is doing much better and, you know, more power to them, and like Idaho. Certainly, you know, some of the stuff that's going on in Michigan is good. Cynthia Davis in Missouri, what an awesome opportunity there to really make a real statement for the Constitution Party. And like the sheriff down in Florida, those
mm-hmm.
kinds of, you know, it's here and there that, yeah, within the state of Ohio, we've got a real opportunity. We've got, you know, it's kind of like when I took over. Right now, I'm kind of the state dictator, and I don't want to be. But, you know, there are advantages sometimes of being able to be that because you can get some things done that need to be done, although my goal is to get rid of that role and take it out so that, you know, there's not one person in charge of the party, but the party, it's the principles of the party, and those that support it are those that are in charge. And that's really where I'm trying to go. And, you know, we need people to join us to bring that vision about and be part of the solution, be part of the process to bring about the solution to get this party so that it's really getting its message out. And you know, I have to be honest, I'm not. It's to me, it's not about party, and that's what's sad about so much of the Democrats and Republicans is that they have become, it's all about the party. Principles be damned. It's about the party.
Right.
And, you know, I'm about
principles.
I don't care what it's called, but you know, it's that set of principles, those guiding principles that are in the that are in the platform of the Constitution Party, and that's what I'm about getting done and getting people to understand. And that's why we get young people. It doesn't matter, you know, what they're finally ultimately called. If they understand the principles of constitutional government and are going to be insistent that those be invoked, because they know that's what's going to result in a strong America and a for many years to come, they get that. You know, like I said, we see the counter-revolution to the 60s is what my goal is. And in the meantime,
well,
you know, we've got to also do those things. We have to build the party for the short term, too.
And I've got a saying that, you know, I think for the folks out there when they're deciding on which way to go, which way to vote this election, and, of course, you know, subsequent ones in 2014, 2016, is to keep this in mind. And it may sound basic, but I think it's more profound than that. And that is, if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to have what you've already got. And if you look at the way America, this nation, is going, and if you want to or think that this nation should stay on the path that it is, that it's a good position where we are at, then continue to vote for the Republican-Democrat duopoly, and things will keep going in the same path that it's going now. But if you want it to change, you're going to have to change your mode of thinking. You're going to have to work towards changing the paradigm. You're going to have to change. Now, I know a lot of people fear change and moving outside of their zone of comfortability. But the only way in which even on the individual can grow is by stepping out of that zone of comfortability, in which once you do that and you grow, the process of getting there usually wasn't as bad as what you feared that it would be. And so living and with having fear as the obstacle to moving forward and fear of moving outside of the comfort zone, all that is, it's a hindrance. It's an obstacle. And you will not be able to grow without that. The only way I think that this country is going to be able to grow and move off of the path that it is on now is to change, is to get out of that comfort zone, is to stop doing what you've always done, because if you continue to do so, as I said, you're always going to have what we already got. And right now what we have isn't as good as it was, and it isn't as good as it could be. So what are we going to do about it to make it change?
So to quote one of the most diabolical presidents of all time is, we have nothing to fear but fear itself.
Yep, and there's nothing, and there's the greatest fear of man is the fear of change, you know, fear, false evidence, you know, appearing real. You know, it's key, because it's just amazing how many fearful people I've met in this last year. You know, one of the things I wanted to add before it slips out of my brain and we close the show out, because we're getting down to the wire, but one of the things that has always been a major concern for me and watching the way the Republicans treated the young Ron Paul movement, it was disgusting. And it's sad, because the older, more mature leaders are supposed to raise up the next generation, not beat them down because they're not perfect Christians yet. And I'll tell you, that's a big frustration I have with the way I see young people treated in many different platforms that I'm involved in my life. And I think it's really important that people understand that you want that youth, because it's the next generation. You want their energy, you want their creativity, but you're also going to get a lot of imperfection with it. And unfortunately, sometimes we get a little impatient with youth. And I'm always telling my young friends who have young kids, you better enjoy it while you can, because it'll be over in a few years and you'll wish you'd have paid attention to that generation more. You know, I think that's a really important, I don't know why I'm saying this, it's just something I've seen through this whole primary. Young people are imperfect. They need mentors. They need friends. They don't need to be judged. Because I think about, you know, Randy and I have talked about this. If a half a million Ron Paul kids came rolling into the Constitution Party, how would they be treated and would they be accepted with all their imperfections? Because there, a lot of them are kind of out there a little bit.
We won't get into that because there's been, but I mean, in terms of some of the behavior that was also seen by some of them, totally inappropriate. But, I think that the whole point is that what we have to do is that balance whereby, the Bible talks about respecting elders. And what I've seen in churches as well as other political movements is the other side whereby, we've got to get these elders out, these older people out of the way, and, we give it all to the youth because we think so much that they're our future that, we just go over to their side and do whatever they want to do rather than mentoring them, as you're talking about, into what's the proper role, what are the proper things, what's the right way, and be able to direct that enthusiasm. My grandfather used to talk about, kids are kind of like a racehorse. If you pull the reins too tight on a racehorse, you'll break his spirit and it won't be worth a plug nickel. What you got to do is guide that racehorse, but let him have his head. But you've got to keep him under control, or he isn't going to be worth anything either.
Right, and so that's something that's part of the, part of that educational program, that leadership development program, whatever you want to call it. Because I would say that there's a lot of young people out there that got suckered into the Obama vote that are upset. There's a lot of young people in the Ron Paul movement that got suckered into that Obama vote that have had a chance to be mentored by a constitutionalist, and they're becoming seasoned warriors, and it sure be nice to have about a half million of those join the party,
we only have about three minutes left. Yes, and thank you very much. I'm very glad we were able to get you back here after last week, and I thank you very much for
let me close out with a quote here that I kind of got that says, as much as I'd like to give up and just live out my life in ease, that's not going to happen. I'll have all eternity to do that. In the meantime, I cannot abandon my grandchildren and their heritage to a life of servitude to an oppressive government if we don't make a fundamental change, which a Romney and the like are not going to bring us. Like our founding fathers who gave us great opportunity because they did not choose the easy way out, I'm a fighter, much to my own chagrin.
Yeah, it's my problem too.
Indeed, same here. And I think that is a great quote to end tonight's show. Thank you, everyone, for coming in to listening, whether you listen from the Blog Talk Radio or the Bard's Logic Political Talk website or the other modes of people listen to the show, iPods, things of that nature. Thanks for the participation in the chat and for those who will listen to the archives later. And thank you once again, Mr. Schrader, for coming in and talking to us about the Constitution Party in Ohio and elsewhere. And I will close out tonight as I close out every night. So everyone take care. Hope to see you again. Good night. And we end with the song from Aubrey Ashburn. Good night. And before I forget to do it again, folks, let me say if you are up late tonight, please visit the Rex and Tech Show that you can find their show on Blog Talk Radio. Just look under the search under Election 2012. I've missed doing that a couple of times, past couple nights, and I wanted to make sure I did not do that again. So go ahead and visit with Rex and Tex. Thank you.
Thank you.